The Catholic Church has been struggling with allegations that it has covered up sexual abuse by priests. People who study such matters say that Protestant churches also have a big problem with sexual misconduct by members of their clergy. While details may differ, there are striking parallels with the way the cases are handled, NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
It was April 7, 1985, the anniversary of her father's death. 16-year-old Danielle Christian sought out the place of greatest comfort and trust, her church, Belmont Church of the Nazarene in Pueblo, Colorado.
I remember going to the church that night and just crying and going to the altar, and Greg coming there and talking to me and putting his arm around me.
Greg was Greg Tucker, the 24-year-old youth pastor. Tucker, who was married, suggested Christian and he meet several times a week for prayer and counseling. She says what seemed like comfort then now seems like manipulation.
And Greg would read my journals, and that's when he would say things like, "Your dad would be very proud of you, and I know how hard it is to not have a father because he lost his mother when he was younger." I think he used everything he could to have sex with me. I definitely think all of the emotional abuse, he used that to get close to me and to get me to become vulnerable to him.
Soon the two were having sex, a relationship that continued until Tucker and his family moved away. Some 14 years later, Christian was on the brink of divorce and going through marriage counseling. She told the counselor about her teenage affair. The counselor said it wasn't an affair, it was sexual abuse. Danielle Christian then contacted James Deal, the general superintendent of the Church of the Nazarene and her former pastor.
She wrote that letter to me, and then, of course, I responded to her more or less in the sense of a pastor looking after one of the people, saying, my, did all of that happen? If so, I'm so sorry. It should never have happened. What can I do to help, 15 or 16 years later?
Christian got back a letter she couldn't believe.
They basically just told me that they had told Greg about the letter and that he and his wife were remorseful what had happened to me, but that they had been held accountable to them and that he was a changed man, and that I needed to pray about it and put it in God's hands.
Christian felt this was an unsatisfactory response. She wanted to hear that Tucker had been put out of the church. She did not want to hear that he was pastoring his own church in Anaheim, California, where he had access to vulnerable girls and women. And therein lies the disagreement and the basis of a lawsuit. James Deal says the National Church isn't responsible. It doesn't micromanage pastors or control where they work. And in the case of Tucker, the abuse occurred before the youth pastor was an ordained minister.
He and his wife were a young couple that the church found and said, "Would you look after our young people?" Now, what he did was wrong. It was flat, terribly wrong. But he was not credentialed or licensed in any way by the church. I guess it'd be similar to hiring a custodian.
That's where things stood until Christian learned of another girl, one of several girls abused by Tucker during the same period.
It began with long hugs, sitting in his lap, back rubs, and then progressed to fondling.
Darlene Chupp was also 16 when she began her counseling sessions with Tucker. After Danielle Christian got in touch with her, she says,
"We started sharing with each other what had happened to each of us and how similar it was and how he would say the same things to her that he was saying to me during the same period of time. We became angry about that and also about the church's response."
So they sued. Chupp and Christian say they were not suing for the money. They tried to avoid court, but they thought it was the only way to remove Greg Tucker from the pulpit. The church settled with Christian. Chupp couldn't sue the church because the statute of limitations had expired. But the women won their civil suit against Tucker, and a jury ordered him to pay them about $30,000 each. This is not an isolated case. Some studies show that about 12% of Protestant clergy admit to having had sexual intercourse with a parishioner. About one-third of clergy admit to inappropriate sexual contact. Most of the cases are settled, but they run into the thousands. One insurance company alone, Church Mutual Insurance, receives on average 5 claims of clergy abuse a week. So the question is, why is so much attention given to the Catholic Church and so little to the Protestants? Gary Schoner, a clinical psychologist who has consulted in more than 2,000 clergy abuse cases, sees two reasons the Catholic Church is in the headlines.
First of all, the focus of the big cases has been boys the abuse of whom is taken far more seriously, and it yields very, very large damage awards or settlements, which is what will get media attention. Secondly, they have certainly some of the more outrageous provable cases of cover-up where a central authority assigns the priest and keeps reassigning him.
Still, Attorney Joyce Seelan says all types of churches respond to allegations in basically the same way. She sued a range of churches, Episcopal, Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of the Nazarene, and she says they're no different from the Catholics.
Across the board, they duck the issue by either saying that it's consensual or by simply transferring the minister, which is why I think in every case I've done, the jury has come back and said that the greater responsibility is with the church.
For example, in the case of Gregory Tucker, the jury found that Tucker was 30% responsible for the abuse and the church was 70% responsible. Patrick Schiltz used to defend Protestant and Catholic churches before becoming a law professor. He says a lot of clergy abuse in Protestant churches is the counseling relationship gone awry. A woman in emotional turmoil goes to her pastor for advice and comfort. They talk.
The pastor begins to see her weekly or twice a week, and then they start to do things together, like they may go out and have lunch together, and then they may go catch the movie together, and a counseling relationship turns into an affair, essentially. Although it's not a consensual affair, it's an affair in which one side had much more power than the other.
And when the affair is discovered, the results can be disastrous for the woman. Joe E. Truel, who teaches Christian ethics at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, notes that the Catholic Church has a strict hierarchy and the laity have little power. But in many Protestant churches, the congregation has ultimate control. Truel says the typical response to scandal is this.
First, the congregation, particularly those who are close to the minister, circle the wagons and say, no, no, it couldn't be him. He didn't do this. He's too good a person. The second thing that happens is you blame the victim. You know, well, she's a Jezebel. She seduced him. It's not his fault. It's hers. And the third fact that sometimes happens is the wife gets blamed. If she had been a good wife, he wouldn't have been tempted.
It makes women reluctant to come forward, he says. Today, Danielle Christian has lost what used to be the center of her life. She never goes to church. When she sees a minister or a priest, she crosses to the other side of the street.
And when I have children, I wanted to bring my children up in a youth group and bring them up in the church. And I don't think that's going to happen because I would never trust any man to be alone with my children, especially a minister.
As for Gregory Tucker, he's leading a church in Anaheim. He would not talk to NPR on tape, but he did say that he's a changed man, that he prays for the women he abused, that he's happy they won their suit against him, even though he hasn't paid most of the damage award. At the Church of the Nazarene, General Superintendent James Deal says the next step in the case goes to the core of Christian theology.
And the truth is, we're supposed to forgive one another if that forgiveness is asked for. And he indicated all of that had been done some years ago. So let's get on with life and try not to waste the rest of my life because of what I did wrong in one location with a couple of young ladies.
Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.